Well, if a 747 jetliner was halfway across the Atlantic, when a captain went across the loudspeaker and said, "Unfortunately, we've lost one of our jets, one of our engines, but we can certainly reach London because we have three left, three jets and three engines, so we can certainly make it, but we're going to be an hour late, unfortunately." So a few minutes, maybe an hour later, the captain made another announcement and said, "Sorry, but we lost another engine. Still, we can travel on two engines, but I'm afraid that we're going to be 2 hours late." So a short time later, he gets over the loudspeaker, and the passengers heard the captain's voice again. He says, guess what, folks? We lost our third engine, but please be assured we can fly with only one, but we're going to be to London 3 hours late." And at this point, one passenger became furious and said, "For Pete's sake," he shouted, "if we lose another engine, we'll be up here all night." Isn't that great? That's funny. So, do you and I realize that the power source in life, the source that we use to light up our cell phones, our computers, our houses, our kitchens, our stoves, the things that we use require electricity. There is a power source. And so some people don't think through the background of what source comes to light up those things, to give us electricity. And so some people don't have any idea how often we are dependent for a power beyond ourselves. Like that story with that 747. So have you needed power in your life? Have you needed some source of power, not just talking about, your house or your computer, but spiritually speaking? When things get difficult, when things look bleak, what mountains are in your life that are impossible to you, in your mind, in your perspective? What mountains are impossible? God has shown me many times, and I would say they're probably smaller mountains than some of your mountains in your life. But God has shown me over many, many years how He shows up and He provides things that I thought were impossible that became possible because He did the work and He just made it happen. That His power in my life has changed things. There are times where I have gone my own way. There are times where I have been rebellious. Can you figure that? The pastor. There are times where I have been grumpy and I'm like, I want this to happen. There have been times where I've had arrogance. And God, in His mighty power, with the small, gentle voice, His Spirit has laid upon me this word that says, "Your arrogance is not as important than that other person. Your pride is not as important as this person in front of you." And so I would say that's impossible for God to do that, to change a heart. See, we can change our behaviors for a short time, right? But to change a heart that's willing to be selfless, that's willing to put someone before ourselves, that's willing to not be rebellious anymore, that's willing to be humble, that requires a mighty God. And so God has changed my heart and continues to change that inside of me, and I'm praying that he's doing the same for you. And this is only because of God's Spirit. And he comes and he says things to you. And this is the power in our lives that we need. Not the electricity for our house, which is great. We can cook meals. We can heat our houses. We don't have to use candles. We don't have to go to bed at 5 p.m., right? Because we have electricity. But we need power in our lives to change us, spiritually speaking. We need light in our lives because we live in a dark world. And so Isaiah is talking to the crowd. He's talking to us. He's talking to all humanity when he writes that there will be a son that will come and he will bring what? He will bring light into a dark world. And so Isaiah 9, 2 through 3, they are anticipating by what Isaiah says. And can we get that up on the screen? Isaiah 9, 2 through 3. The people were walking in darkness. They have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has been dawned. This is speaking of the Messiah that is to come. And you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. And so Isaiah is talking about this Messiah, this hope that is coming for them. It will come and it will bring them joy and it will bring them light in the midst of darkness. And the same thing with us. We're kind of in the same place, and yet we've seen the Messiah come. He has come and lived and died and resurrected. But what are we anticipating? Just like Advent, you anticipate the coming of the Christ, birth of the Son. We are anticipating, we are in Advent. We are anticipating a coming King one day. And so this King, this person that Isaiah talks about, it doesn't say in so many words that this person will become a wonderful counselor or will become a mighty God. It says this person will be called a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, meaning this person who's to come, this son who is to be born, will already, this person is. Right? And so Isaiah continues because he says that their joy will be increased, their nation will be enlarged. He goes on to say that the government, verse 6, I think it is, or before that, 5, but no, 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness, verse 7, of his government and the peace, there will be no end to this peace. And we'll talk about peace in a couple weeks, that he is the Prince of Peace. But this person, this son that is to come, will change all of life and humanity and bring hope and joy. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from the time on and forever. And so last week we talked about the Wonderful Counselor, and the counselor is not like a counselor from our day and age where we're not sure if they're going to make us worse or better by the time we go to this counseling session, right? Jesus is this wonderful counselor who knows our problems. He knows our struggles. He knows how we're wired. He knows what we need to be satisfied, to find joy, and to be healed, and to find security. And so the second name in the description in the four names, the four titles, the four characteristics of Jesus is Mighty God. Now the name, the title is a two-word title in the Old Testament. And The Hebrew word is El Gabor. God is the first part, El. And El is a singular form of the plural Elohim. Elohim means the one true God. There is no other like Him. He is El. He is Elohim. And so, that first word, that El word, the prophet Hosea used El to set God in contrast to man. In Hosea 11:9, it says, I will carry out my fierce anger. He will not do that. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I devastate Ephraim again, for I am God, not a man. The Holy One among you, I will not come against your cities. And so we have Hosea, we have all the other prophets, and then we have Isaiah. And Isaiah says in 9:6, he was predicting the one who would be far more than a man. The Christ who walked on water. He voluntarily died for our sins. He died and rose again. He physically rose from the dead. Is the one who said, before Abraham, I am. And he said in John 8:58, he said that he was God. He was mighty God. El Gabor. So the second part of that is Gabor, which means mighty, which means strength, which means power, which means hero. And typically when we look at heroes today, we are looking at ones who save people's lives. We look at firefighters and police, and we look at veterans, and we look at Mother Teresa and different people who are great heroes in our minds. And they're great. But God is, Jesus is this true hero that saves all of humanity, not just a few lives, but saves all of us. He is the true hero. The son who would be born would be called Mighty God. The Messiah would be God, our hero. Right? So some of you hero, superhero fans, God is the superest. He is the greatest hero of them all. Jesus was the mighty God. And he was the mighty God before his birth. He was in John 1:1-3, just to refresh our memory, because we know this verse, but it's good to look at it and to let it just soak in your heart, that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Which means that Jesus was the Creator at the beginning, and then He came to earth and came in bodily form. He came into this humanity and lived among us. And Colossians 1:16 adds to this, for by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And so I don't know if you get a picture of this, but Jesus is the mighty God. That Jesus is the God hero. That Jesus, whatever mountain you have in your life or will have, He is greater. That instead of trying to figure it out or trying to wrestle through it on your own, go to Him first and ask Him, what does He think? Because He is the mighty God and He can do great things. He is over and above. So He is the mighty God that Isaiah is talking about. And so Jesus displayed His might in the creation of the world. And we have this glimpse because we can make things out of something. But God made things out of nothing. I mean, think about that for a minute. And so it takes divine, it takes divinity to create something out of nothing. And that is the mighty God. And Jesus demonstrated that power before his birth. But he also demonstrated it when he lived here, right? Jesus demonstrated the mighty power of God because he is God, but also because he had God's power, one and the same. For instance, he had the power over nature. He told the wind to stop. He told the waves, the storm to stop, and it obeyed. Jesus told the diseases to go away, and people were healed. Jesus spoke to the nature, the nature that we're all afraid of in our day and age, right? We're afraid of the nature because it's global warming or global cooling or whatever. We're concerned and worried. Can I just stop for a minute and remind us that God is the mighty God that created that? Are you with me? Right? That nature, God just says, okay, enough. Be quiet. And so Jesus had power over disease. He had power over nature. He had power over demons. He had power over sin. And he had power over the last thing, and that is death. Jesus is the mighty God that came into this world, and he is also the true light. Isaiah talks about this light coming. And John, who writes, so Isaiah writes over here 700 years before Christ, before Jesus. And John writes over here on this other side of Jesus after Jesus rose again from the dead. And he writes John 1:11, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So have you seen the light? Have you recognized him? Have you seen him? There was one man who saw him of many, many people who have seen Jesus, and their lives have been changed. And my life has been changed because I've experienced Jesus and the light. But this man named Nicodemus, he came across this man named Jesus. He was a religious leader who did not want anybody to know that he was curious about Jesus. And so at night, he went to go see Jesus and ask him some questions. And in John 3:1-9, it says that Nicodemus came to Jesus and he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. And Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And then, of course, Nicodemus asks some more questions. He says, how can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And so Jesus answers again. He says, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and the Spirit, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised by my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus ends his conversation with, how can this be? Now you wonder what happened to Nicodemus. But I can tell you this, Nicodemus' life was changed. He recognized the Christ. Eventually, because in John 19:39, there's a man named Joseph who put Jesus in his tomb, and somebody was along along for the ride. And who was that person? It was Nicodemus. He says, it says in John 19:39, he was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes and, excuse me, about 75 pounds. See, Nicodemus didn't just experience Jesus at that night, but Nicodemus experienced Jesus at the death. And then what happened, probably, it doesn't say specific, but I'm sure he saw the risen King, Jesus. And Nicodemus' life was changed. And so today, what does that mean for us? Okay, Nicodemus' life was changed. The disciples' lives were changed. Saul's, you know, he became, went from Saul to Paul, and we hear all those stories about Paul, and his life was changed. But what about our lives? Sure, God is this wonderful counselor. He counsels me, gives me wisdom, but does he have mighty power in my life? And I think it goes to this, and that not this big, like what I started off saying, is not this big mountain, God's going to conquer this mountain, but the mountain of the internal, of our hearts, that we are changed drastically, that it changes our behavior, it changes our perspective, it changes our political views, it changes everything about us that we used to believe. I can tell you this, when I was 19, this verse impacted my life because it was God's word and his truth. Philippians 4:13 that you know very well, and Paul wrote it. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the mighty God that he's talking about. And that doesn't mean that I can have strength to just to get through my day. That means I can have strength to do all things. That means I can actually internally be changed and be humble and not proud anymore. That means I can stop yelling and getting grumpy or angry at people. That means I can stop lusting or stop stealing or stop whatever, and do what's right because Christ has changed me from the inside out. And I no longer live the way I used to. And so that's a powerful promise. I, Matt, can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Put your name in that verse. Now, you don't have to do it right now in public. You can do it when you go home. When the enemy comes and tempts you. When you feel like you have been wronged. And so Jesus Christ is anything less of mighty God. He is the one that changes hearts. And you know, we see this off and on, but it just amazes me that we have superheroes, right? We have, maybe they aren't superheroes like Mother Teresa, but we have superheroes like people in the spotlight, right? We like singers and people that make movies and write stories and people who are in the spotlight like politicians or whatever. They're people that we look up to maybe. And what's cool to me is that God changes hearts. We see this in the recent Kanye West, right? Has anybody follow that story? That this man was going down the drastically down the pathway to death, and he said he had everything, he had fame, he had fortune, and God got a hold of his heart almost like a year ago, right? And now he's every Sunday he's going around and doing worship services. He's using his talent that God has given him to tell people about Jesus. This is mighty God working into someone's heart and changing them and making them into a whole nother person. Isn't that cool? Only the mighty God can do something like that in someone's heart. Only the mighty God can do something like that in someone's heart. Recently, I had a conversation with somebody, and it's kind of another situation where this person is struggling with the fact that they can't forgive somebody, and they're hurt because this person hurt them, and they've come to conclusion that they need to go wash the person's feet, and they've actually come to a place where they've decided that they're going to go do this. No matter whether or not the other person asks for forgiveness, they're going to go do that. Now, to me, only the mighty God can do something like that in someone's heart. Only our mighty God can do something like that in a person's heart. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that God can change hearts? You look at Kanye West. You look at the local man that's going and washing someone's feet. You look at this guy that could hold that against that person for the rest of his life, and he chooses to forgive. Change his hearts, man. Change his hearts. And so that is what Isaiah is talking about. He's like, this is not just a name, a title. This is the mighty God, the wonderful counselor, the everlasting that will live forever, Father, the Prince of Peace that will bring peace to your life. And if that doesn't change your life, I don't know what does. And so Isaiah again talked about this: the people in darkness would see a great light. The people who were experiencing gloom, if you're experiencing gloom, you can experience joy today because Jesus is that. And those in despair would look to the future for the coming Messiah called Mighty God. Mighty God. I'm going to end with this verse and then we'll listen to a song. But Ephesians 3:20 through 21. And this is kind of at the end, I'll give this again. This is our benediction. But now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever. This is God's power that can change lives in us and through us.